Hey, this is episode 59 of the Jock and Nerd Podcast. You're going to hear us talk about Ronda Rousey and the Holly Holm fight. You're going to hear us talk about this week's new episodes of Supergirl, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Flash, and Arrow. Remember, this is a spoiler cast.
Spoiler alert.
Joining us, as always, on the Jock and Nerd Weekly, everybody's favorite felty American, Rug Boy.
Wowie zowie!
All that, plus a little Walking Dead geek out in the post show.
Bro, do you even podcast?
Yes. Yes, I do.
It's the Jockey Nerd Podcast with your hosts, Anthony and Imran.
Everyone, welcome to the show. This is the Jock and Nerd Podcast, episode 59. My name is Imran.
My name's Anthony.
He is the jock.
He's the nerd.
And he's the rug boy, because we're live on Blab, so you gotta have the rugs. What's up, rugs?
What's up, dudes?
How you doing? Now, before we hit the record button, you tell us you had a little bit of issues, so why don't you tell the listener why maybe you're gonna drop out here and there.
Okay. Never eat Indian food if it's prepared by a Chinese man. I'm just telling you that right now.
Oh,
I don't trust the whole Asian thing. I don't think it works across the board.
Listen, everyone knows. Everyone knows Mexicans make the best Indian food. That's where you gotta go. So you gotta check out the kitchen before you go, and then you make your decision.
Like, would you go to like a place to learn karate and a guy was Indian that was teaching the class?
Like, well, yoga karate.
Would you be like,
I don't know.
Yoga karate, what the hell are
that
you talking
dude
about?
On Street Fighter, he was pretty badass.
Like, I'm gonna go take Intashan's class right now.
I'd rather the guy on Street Fighter though could like stretch his arms.
He was like
Dal Sim.
Yeah.
Listen, guys, we got a lot to talk about. This is the Jock and Nerd Podcast. This is the format of the show that I've been starting to call Jock and Nerd Weekly. Why? Because this show we do live on Blab with the Rug Boy, and we're talking about this week's new episodes of Supergirl, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., The Flash and Arrow, and maybe a little Walking
and
Dead in the
bits.
Post show, because somebody kind of caught up, and other news bits. So we have lots to talk about, but before we get to any of that, we have a huge jock news sweeping the nation. Anthony, I'm going to let you take over. What's going on?
Well, I don't know if you heard of this lady. Her name is Ronda Rousey.
Oh, yeah.
Geek she boner. Fought at UFC – geek boner, correct. UFC 193 in Melbourne, Australia, in front of 57,000 fans, and she lost. She lost her title.
I saw that fight.
You watched it?
Yes, I did.
Now, this is huge because she got knocked out, didn't she? And this woman is, like, indestructible.
Well, that's the whole thing. Whenever somebody gets a little too cocky, that's when they're open to weakness. Now, what's your opinion on the fight, Jockey Boy?
I don't think she got a little too cocky. I think she plain out just the girl that she fought, her name is Holly Holm, had studied her so well and had the perfect game plan for her, and she just got her ass kicked. The girl, she was just, in hindsight, a really bad matchup for her.
I agree, but I also think that she let pride get the best of her because she tried to stand up. And Ronda Rousey's a grappler. She's a wrestler. She does judo. So she's always into throwing. She's not really a stand-up kind of fighter.
How did this – take us through the fight real quick, because it didn't last very long, so you could probably describe
it. It went longer. I mean, it went longer than her normal fights. They usually go around. Again, I don't think it's – she was trying to stand up. It was the fact that Holly Holm was evading all of her techniques.
But she
Ronda was
shoot.
Trying to clinch. Well, she's not really she doesn't wrestle. She's more of a judo person. So she has to get her arms around your upper body. And every time she tried to get her arms around Holly, Holly would crossface her and just get out of the way.
Holly
had a very good game.
She's like an undefeated boxer, right? Like highly trained boxer.
She's a very, not undefeated, but she's a very high level boxer. The only way I could see the cockiness is Ronda's stuck with a coach that a lot of people don't think is very good, and her boxing has not improved very much since she started going with this guy. His name's Edmund Tarverdian, and her boxing is not good. It's just not good at all.
I saw a couple of photos from the fight, and there was a shot where Ronda looked legitimately scared and confused, like, oh shit, what is going on? Like, this girl had her on the ropes from the beginning?
Yeah, no, I mean, she had her from the first punch. She had her on the ropes.
Damn.
I wouldn't say Ronda was scared. I would say Ronda was definitely very confused. I think to be a high level athlete like that, you never think you're going to lose.
Well, that's
you think you can overcome everything. So then, when you're put in a situation where it's unfamiliar to you, that's when you look. The panic sets in, and that's why she starts to get tired and panic. And there was one point in the fight where she throws a left hook, and Holly Holm ducks under, and Ronda just falls over. Like it was embarrassing.
Now let me ask you this, Anthony.
Yeah.
Do you think now that she has exposed her weakness that all the other fighters are gonna latch on and then use this opening here, unless she figures out how to defend it?
Good question. Now they know how to beat her a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of fighters don't have the same skill set that Holly has, but I mean, this is the blueprint. So you're gonna see every fighter that fights Ronda try at least some form of this blueprint of evading her and throwing, timing her punches so that when she comes in, you throw a punch and she can't get off and grab a hold of you. So, you're going to see a lot of fighters try to emulate that.
A rematch is definitely going to happen.
It's definitely going to happen.
All right. What do you think? What's your prediction? Do you think that I think that Ronda Rousey's pride is such a huge thing, and she's getting lit up across the internet, like so many memes about her getting her ass kicked. She's either going to completely crumble or she's going to just become a beast.
Yeah, she's getting a lot of fucking shit on the internet right now. And if I were her coach, I would say she can't fight Holly Holm for a year. She needs to either fight a tune-up fight or prepare for a year. Because the thing is they're going to do this rematch and it's going to do huge box office numbers. But she is also filming a movie at the same time as she will be preparing for this rematch.
See, distracted. So
there's no way she's going to be able to improve enough to beat Holly Holm. She could beat Holly Holm if she had like a year of solid boxing training, cutting off the ring. But in the time span that they're planning on having this rematch, I don't think she has enough time to get a good
enough. Holly Holm is an old lady.
Holly's older than Rousey, isn't she?
She's 33, yeah. But you just saw an old lady whoop Ronda Rousey.
Oh, yes, you did.
Yeah, okay. But I mean, I think that that Ronda's going to be more resilient. First of all, this is the first time anyone's ever even touched her face.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, no one's even ever gotten close to even punching her in the face before. So she just had a wake-up call. She's going to bounce back from this, I think.
Andy, but how big – this is like – from what I read and what I understand, this is historic. It broke several UFC records, like largest live audience, largest gate, largest pay-per-view. What does this mean for the sport moving forward?
Man, I mean, like I said, the rematch is going to do huge. It's going to be record-breaking. But, I mean, if you do – like, I'll pose it back to you. Do you remember, like, the other big-name fighters like Brock Lesnar or Chuck Liddell or whoever else? Do you remember who beat them?
Nope.
No, you don't remember who beat them. So long term, they needed Ronda to be undefeated and stay on this crazy hype train of being undefeated and this women's progressive fighter and badass. I think a little bit of luster is going to wear off, especially if she loses. If she loses again to Holly, it's done for her. She's done.
I mean, I would argue that she's more of a household name than any of the dudes fighting.
She's the biggest name they've ever had.
So
did they build her up just to rip them down again, though?
This fight?
Yeah.
I mean,
she needs a story, though. She's been kicking ass. It's good that she has a challenge.
Yeah.
You know, it's good that she could come back and maybe win it. And that would probably be triumphant for her. But if she does blow it, we're talking Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah. Well, I like that they
it literally is, though. Like,
yeah. Iron Man live 3 all over again.
Live long enough to see yourself become the hero or die a villain. Die a hero or live long enough to see yourself become a villain. She is literally, this is like our society. We've built her up so much. And right when she fucking falters, everyone's just like, the memes and the internet is just insane right now.
Yeah, I can't believe that.
So do you think Dana White did this knowingly to challenge her, or was this supposed to be like serving her up for another win?
I think Dana White thought this was going to be another win because if you look at like classic striker versus grappler, usually it's always the grappler that wins.
Because all you have to do is get them on the ground and then that's it. But she didn't try that.
Yeah,
I think the next strategy for Ronda against Holm is that she's going to have to take her to the ground. That's the only way she'll win.
No, it really is. She has to get inside and take her down. That's the only way.
Like, there's so many levels, like how historic this thing is. I was reading about like the bookies and how it really screwed up all the bets because it got to the point Vegas shut down. Yeah, it got to the point where betting on Rousey was going to get you maybe $5 because everyone was betting on her, and whoever bet on Holmes, they paid out and they didn't have enough money to pay these fuckers.
Yeah,
out
I think
early.
It was like 8-1 odds or something.
Wow.
Yeah, well, it dropped. It was higher, and then the money started coming in because all the bettors were like, "Fuck, I'll throw some money on Holmes. The odds are so fucking."
Right.
Amazing.
Well, yeah. Why not?
I listened to Joe Rogan and Dana White on a podcast.
Yeah.
And Dana White was like, the Bellagio sportsbook, like, shut down. Like, they had to shut
down.
That's
unbelievable. When does that ever happen for any other sporting
Vegas
event?
Lost a ton of money. They made it back on a lot of upsets in the NFL the next day, but yeah, they lost a ton of money on
it. Dude, it's a fascinating story. I mean, comicbook.com was like posting stories about this. I was like, whoa, this thing is everywhere. It's huge. Yeah.
Donald Trump tweeted about it. Lady Gaga. Like,
yeah, Lady Gaga was talking
Justin Bieber is talking about it.
Oh, it's crazy. It took
this
over.
This is like the biggest fight in a long time.
I mean, is she like the female Mike Tyson?
She was. She had that kind of aura. I mean, her last three fights went less than 3 minutes.
Yeah.
So she had this aura of being like this invincible chick, and she not only that, but she has like, you know, she's cocky and she's somewhat attractive and she likes doing media, so she'd built herself up to being this like unbeatable like woman that people could rally behind, and you know, she was such a big personality that, you know, she was, you know, polarizing. People either liked her or they really disliked her. So she was a huge draw.
Bigger they are, the harder they fall, gentlemen.
Did Ronda ever fight Chris Cyborg?
She did not. That's another thing that's been ruined by this.
Oh, I heard about this cyborg lady.
Chris Cyborg is this gigantic.
It's basically a dude.
I thought she was a cyborg.
Oh,
I actually thought she was a cyborg.
Google her. You'll see how big this thing is.
Yeah, she was like, she was undefeated. No one could fucking beat her.
Man.
And then did she get in trouble for steroids or something?
She got kicked out.
But that was the one, like, the real contender that Ronda never fought.
Right.
See, like,
well, she was heavier. That was always the thing. Is she fights at a heavier weight class?
Oh,
but
yeah.
They wanted her to drop down. There was always this like it's politics. But Cyborg wanted Ronda to jump up. So Ronda's like, I'm the champ. You drop down. You're full of steroids, anyways. If you lost that muscle, you can make our weight. But that was the fight to make. That would have done a ton of money. But now that's ruined.
How was the weigh-in for that fight? The weigh-in is like the best part of the whole thing.
How was the weigh-in for which one? This past fight.
Yeah.
Well, those were actually – so the girls were actually both really respectable towards one another.
Oh.
And then at the weigh-in, Ronda, like, came into her face, and I don't know what happened, but Holly, like, put her fist on Ronda's face and kind of, like, shoved her away.
Damn.
So then they were, like, going at it at the weigh-in.
And they didn't even touch fists, right, at the beginning? Ronda refused to, like, touch fists?
Yeah. I mean, she was just very upset with her.
It's bad mojo, man. It caught her right in the neck. Caught her right leg kick to the head. And down.
Just the way it happened too was surprising. Is what's great about like MMA and fights is when you think something is going to happen and then it doesn't at all go the way you think it's going to go. And for it to go literally the exact opposite way of anyone thought it would be, is what has caused this huge uproar.
And that's what I'm realizing is the beauty of this sport is despite the records, anybody can win or lose at any time. Like there's no bets on anything.
Wasn't her day.
All right. Well, thanks for that's a great story, man. Thanks for filling us in. And
no problem, man.
Everybody's talking about it. This is the Jock and Nerd Podcast. We're going to talk about this week's shows. We're doing this live on Blab for you guys in the Blab right now. Thanks for hanging out. We're going to open up the box at the end of the show. Geek out. Shout out. Thank you right now. Ricky Prime, Do Right, Selassie, Crystal. Everyone's hanging out. Thank you.
Some of the regulars.
We got some regulars in the house. Let's get on with the show, people. We're going to spoil the crap out of some shows, so I hoped you watched this week, people. We're going to start with this week's new episode of Supergirl. Season 1, episode 4. Now, here's the thing with this episode. They shuffled some of their episodes around. You may have wondered, why are we watching a Thanksgiving episode so soon? Well, CBS decided to, after the horrific attacks in Paris, they shuffled an episode of Supergirl around that, I guess the episode that was going to air, they had her like diffusing bombs around the city or something.
Too close to home, something.
Yeah,
like that,
there was
right?
NCI LA. There was another show that they rescheduled. So we got a Thanksgiving episode that would have been aired later, which actually I'm okay with, because like I think we're seeing more development than we would have seen had they just gone in order. I don't know. And I'll tell you something. I'm slightly warming up to this show. I liked it a little bit better this week. This week's episode was called "How Does She Do It?"
Yeah, no, I agree with you, Imran. I kind of liked this episode.
I don't know what's going on with me. They did a couple of things where I was like, huh, well, I kind of like that.
I like the progression in Cat Grant. Is that her name?
Yes.
Calista Flockhart.
Yes.
I like the progression in her character.
She's clearly like the best actor on the show, I think.
And she's like a pseudo mom to Supergirl.
Yes.
Now. And to Carol? Is that her name? Carol.
Kara.
Yes. Yeah.
So we got to see the birth of a supervillain named Livewire that I think actually debuted in like the Superman animated show from the 90s.
Yeah.
And then they brought it in the comics and it comes in the form of a shock jock. I think they followed it pretty faithfully. Leslie Willis, who's talking shit about Supergirl, and Cat Grant's like, hey, stop talking shit. I'm putting you on traffic duty. And then, you know, shit happens. The helicopter's going down. It was kind of weird because I didn't understand what happened originally. While the helicopter's going down,
they explained it.
They did explain it later. Supergirl grabs her and gets hit by lightning, and the lightning gets powered through Supergirl into her, turning her hair white and giving her these electricity powers or some shit.
Yeah, turned her into Electro.
I wasn't really buying that whole thing that Supergirl is the reason, but I hate that when they do that.
That was a little, they had to tie. It was too much tied together.
I hate the tying in shit.
A little forced.
But, what was I going to say? They're still doing the Freak of the Week thing.
Yeah, they're going to.
They're not building any kind of mythology. They're, you know, I mean, I guess they chose that episode because it stands alone, maybe?
Possibly. That's a good point.
I think it was a safe episode. I don't know what the plan was, but it was very safe. It was a very cheery episode that you would expect during a Thanksgiving week.
Yeah.
And now,
family and the mother and all this stuff, and like trying to rally your family back together with the conflict between Kara's sister and her mother, and then Calista Flockhart being kind of motherly and all that shit.
I guess it's all tied in.
They're tying it together, and then we learn more about her adopted father because Helen Slater comes by for Thanksgiving dinner and explains that their father died working for Henshaw and the DEO, which is pretty nuts, I thought. So there's your overarching thing. Now, what I understand with the Livewire is she gets these powers, and then, again, I'm going to apply nerd logic, she immediately knows how to go through the wires and transport herself. I was like, how the fuck did she learn how to do that already?
Yeah, she just looks at the lamp and's like, oh
I guess I can go there. Yeah. Well, okay. All right. That's very convenient.
It's the problem with Villain of the Week is that you don't have the exploration of powers because they have to get into it really quick.
Do-Right can sum this up in three letters in the chat. He says CBS. And
crappy bullshit.
Oh, shit.
Crappy bullshit is what it stands for. However, I like now what they're doing. I always love when they have the superheroes and they use their powers for fun little things, like Kara zaps the turkey and heats it up or heats up her thing. I always love those little moments. That's always fun. And I loved, Anthony, you made a note of this too. That scene, the heartfelt scene between the sister and the mom, and they were playing this awesome Hozier cover, Take Me to Church. And it was so good, it was distracting me from the scene. I was like, shut up, what is this song?
That was not an apropos song. Take Me to Church is about getting laid, about being
in church.
It's
hot.
Yeah, telling a girl that I'm going to worship you.
Wow.
Imran, I pointed that out.
I'm going to worship in the church of your vagine.
Yeah, the church of the
I pointed that song out because I actually didn't like the way they used it.
It was
too distracting. Yeah. I was like,
it was.
Wait, now you're taking me out of this. Now it's like a pop song in the middle of a show.
At least they're using something from this decade for the first time as opposed to Hit Me With Your Best Shot and Girls Just Want to Have Fun. But I liked it. It was so distracting that like I didn't hear a word of that dialogue because I was like, wow, this cover's really good. Who is this?
Crystal says it's about a man being gay and hated.
It's about a man being gay taking me to church.
I don't know. I heard him describing it on and saying that it was about a girl. girl.
Interesting. All right, we got two.
Well, regardless, I actually it took me out of. I was like, oh, this is too poppy right now.
Wow, they can't win. They play old shit. We give them shit. They play new shit. We're like, oh, fuck off with your music.
Well, I don't want to be able to know the lyrics to the song that they're
right?
playing.
Right. It was.
I wanted to enhance the mood, not take me out of it.
It was distracting because all of a sudden I was like, oh, wait, what are they saying? Because it was just a great song. And then I kind of enjoyed like the Ghostbuster trap they made for Livewire. And Carol was like, oh, like Ghostbusters.
It works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And no, yeah, it did work. Nod. Yeah. But there was, again, a lot of cheesy lines. Like she goes, I'm finishing you off. And then she was like, oh, I guess water and electricity don't mix. Oh, fuck off with that. What is that?
Yeah, there's some. Like deplorable script writing there.
Crap with this dialogue. I'm finishing you off. It's that's kind of hot. If you think about the fappening and then her saying that works.
Oh,
that's
Jesus
the,
Christ.
It's the only way to make that work.
I did like the reveal that Kara's dad or stepfather worked for the DEO.
Yeah.
There might be some intrigue in the mystery of how he died.
I have a problem.
What's the problem?
Okay. The thing is, the guy that plays Kara's like friend, the computer geek guy.
Yeah.
Win.
Like he's not geeky enough. Like he's a good looking dude. And like for him to be like jealous of Jimmy Olsen, and Jimmy's only just taller and blacker, which makes him cooler by default. But still, they're still two good looking guys.
I don't know. I think Olsen is in another league, dude. That dude Win is just he's not in the same league as James.
They've made Olsen to be a lot cooler. They've written him a lot cooler so far.
Yeah, on this show.
I'm not sure if I like the love triangle.
I know. He's like, there's this awkward kiss that he tries to do. And plus, he's supposed to be Toyman, or maybe his father is going to be Toyman. That's the Win.
The Win?
Yeah. Oh, okay. His character's name is eventually that guy becomes Toyman.
Toyman is a villain to
Superman. Yes. Yeah. But it could be his father could come in and there could be a thing there or whatever.
Well, yeah, because he mentions not having a family or there's something going on with Win.
Yeah.
Maybe he gets jilted by Supergirl and he becomes a bad guy.
I think it happened too. He's like, you drove me to the edge. What'd you got? You know what I liked also? I like the Arrow type flashbacks, specifically where they sneak out and they fly around when they were kids. Like that was a kind of a fun, charming moment for that one little part.
Did you guys think Kara's stepmom was kind of a B for blaming her sister for everything?
Yeah, oh, there was that whole
kind of unreasonable,
thing
right?
going on. Yeah, and
I thought that was forced.
A little bit, right? I mean, this show still has its issues, but I agree with Imran that this episode was kind of okay.
I know. I felt like, I didn't
not my
hate
favorite
it.
Of the week.
Yeah, I did not hate it as much, I guess. Right. I don't know. We got to hang in there. And the ratings kind of went back up again. Not as high as they were the first week. It took a little dip the second week, and then it kind of like bounced back. But
I wonder, I haven't looked at the ratings, but I wonder if CBS is happy so far.
Well, you know, it was interesting. I read that Gotham and Supergirl that go on head to head, both of the ratings went up this past week.
Yeah.
And Arrow ratings went up also. So it's all good. And then I think last week Flash went up. So. Yeah, we're going to have to see what the crappy broadcast station continues to put out with this.
I know you guys hate Gotham since you mentioned it.
Dude.
But I still watch it.
I still watch it.
It's horrible, but it's so memorable. Even though it's really bad and it's terrible.
Yeah.
Like, you know, first of all, they're not if it's memorable for some reason.
It's more fun to watch. It's more entertaining than Supergirl. And then I just also read that they got nominated for like a cinematography award. Gotham did, because it is really well shot. The sets are really cool. The ambiance and like the mood, the tone of it it's really well done.
Yeah, it's just that they don't know what the fuck they're doing.
The fucking writing is holding it back. They have no idea what they're doing. They're just throwing everything at the
wall. It's like they can't keep an even tone.
No,
but
no, they never could.
I don't know. Yeah. I'm still watching it, even though I thought I was going to give it up.
I'm still watching it just for fun, and it's fucking crazy, dude. It's entertaining. None of it makes sense. It's just it's off the rails filler. Just I don't know what's going on over there, and like all the characters are wrong. James
even
Gordon
when,
is
when
wrong.
When I watched Gotham, I even thought, although I didn't like it, I was like, at least this show is unlike anything I've ever watched.
Yeah, but like James Gordon is the least James Gordon you could ever write. I don't understand.
Yeah. It's like every show is about, let's see how dark we can get James Gordon to be this episode.
I know. I don't know what they're doing. They keep pushing that. Yeah, it's annoying. Anyways, anything else about Supergirl?
I'm good. Rugby?
Nah, nothing.
All right, okay. Moving on, fellas.
Doc and Nerd.
Oh, shit.
Prepare to be spoiled.
You best prepare to be spoiled. Lawyers, you can't sue us because we gave out the official spoiler disclaimer. This is the Jock and Nerd Podcast. We are going to talk about this week's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. episode, season 3, episode 8, Many Heads, One Tail. Now, I got to say, the rest of these three shows, they're starting to fire on many cylinders.
Yep,
the shit, geek boning. The shit is geek boning me all over the place. I'm very happy.
By far the best episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
What?
Ever. Oh shit!
Oh wow, Rock Boy, that's quite a
wowie zowie.
That's quite a statement.
I was going to say that this was the best episode I've seen this season, but you might be right, Rock Boy. Go ahead,
dude. When the turn came, and fucking Coulson was like, "Yo, I got this shit on lockdown.
Yeah.
Don't you worry. Don't you question me, dude."
It's like nobody's
all right,
leaving.
Mac. I got this shit.
Yeah.
And then he walks downstairs and he's like, "All right. We're fucking invading their ass.
Yeah.
I fucking banged this girl. I got the opening.
Let's go.
Now you guys have to just run it home, baby."
Yeah.
And then he gets
Pierce,
whatever, Price, what the fuck is his last name?
Rosalind
in that white room.
Yep, locks
and
it
he's
down.
He's just like, he doesn't give her any leeway.
It's great.
He's like, "You're not getting out of here until I get what I need."
No,
and their ward was awesome.
Yeah. It was a great spy episode. We found out a lot about the origin of Hydra. We had fucking Coulson finally just going, "All right, you work for Hydra or what the fuck's up? Let's go." Just calling people out, running this spy mission in the background while Ward is looking for this vault to find Hydra's ultimate power. Bobby Max returning telekinetic batons?
Oh, shit.
What?
Wow.
What was that? That was fucking awesome. I was like, wow, that's pretty neat. Where did that come from?
I have to apologize because last week I criticized S.H.I.E.L.D. for getting duped once again.
Yeah.
But this episode, they were like, "We got our shit on lockdown." Just like Rugboy said, we know what's up. We're spying on them. We're doing a double cross. So props to them, props to the writers for duping me. I was so mad last
because
week.
Because they tied the Fitz and Simmons thing into all of this. Like, everything
that
was
cool,
so
too.
Well
they tied
connected.
Everything.
So,
everything. You finally found out that these disparate storylines actually were connected,
yes.
Which was fucking awesome.
So, it's such an important episode. It's for anybody who questioned S.H.I.E.L.D. being a good show. First of all, it was shot great. The fight scenes were shot great.
Yeah.
Everything was done well. Even the part where Sky is guiding Hunter, like telling him what to say.
Oh,
to
that
sound
was
like
hilarious.
A nerd.
Yeah.
That was funny.
Yeah.
There was some that funny was shit in there.
She's pulling a Roxanne with a hacker lingo. So let's back up a little bit. Fitz and Simmons, again, another great episode with these two. We
finally.
Yes. And like,
finally.
I love how they match this together because. Simmons is so frustrated with Fitz because he's such a good guy. But you know how real that is, though? Like, you can feel
she's
her
looking
frustration.
For a reason.
Yeah.
She's looking for a reason to not choose him.
And she's
which
like,
is
yes,
very realistic.
And you know, she clearly has feelings for both of them. So anyways, Fitz realizes that this RAM symbol, which is the NASA symbol, which you turn it upside down, it's the fucking Hydra symbol, which that was really cool. And then in the best moment of frustration between the two characters and their relationship, he just grabs her and kisses her, and she kisses
him
back.
He's like, "I hate you, I hate you, let's make out."
And she's like, "What the fuck did you?" She's like, "But you pulled me through an interdimensional portal. Who loves you more?" You know? And it was so great, great, conflicted,
it was really good.
So sincere. And even after they kissed, he's just like, "Cursed," and he walks away. Like, are they together? Are they not? What was that?
I think there's always going to be something between them, but it's going to be kind of like this has to pass. This whatever's happening with this dude has to pass.
Yeah.
Either they have to get to the bottom of it. She's got to sift through her emotions and see where she's at, you know?
Well, here's why Will suddenly becomes important in the scheme of things. Because what else do we find out? The question was, did Rosalind Price, was she working for Hydra? Was Malik working her? And we find out she had no idea.
Do you think that's genuine, though? Do you think that she's playing Coulson at all? Like,
I don't think she knew. I don't think she knew.
I just want to point out, I didn't realize until this episode that Malik was in the Security Council in the Avengers movies.
He was.
I had no idea.
Powers Booth was in the Avengers movies?
Yeah. So remember when Nick Fury is talking to like those talking heads?
Yeah. He's on the screen.
Yeah, he's like, they're too dangerous. Why are you doing like,
that?
He's hinting at the Avengers. And it makes this show so much richer
that he was
always in Hydra.
Yeah.
And that's why he was questioning why they should use the Avengers.
Now, what side is Ward on now? Is he broken off to his own faction? Because in the beginning, Malik tried to kill Ward. But then at the end, they came back together, didn't they?
Yeah, I think Ward is like Malik's guy now.
Yeah. So we find out Rosalind did not know. They're looking for Garner, who's not there. By the time Ward finds this vault, Malik is just hanging out in there. And there's a lot of cool things here. He tells us about Hydra. He pulls out a mini obelisk. And so if you notice, remember in the main big obelisk, all these squares were cut out?
Yeah.
Monolith,
whatever. People write it as obelisk. But all these squares were cut out. So there's these squares. A lot of Hydra dudes are sitting on these squares. And the most alarming, again, this is spoiler if you haven't watched, the greatest revelation is Hydra is like thousands of years old.
Yep.
Yeah, it didn't start with the Nazi party. It was further back.
That's pretty
Malik
dope, too.
Says
it was
that,
like the Illuminati.
He says that there was a powerful inhuman that was born on this planet, and they sent him away through the portal.
He's that Grim Reaper dude on that planet.
Or is he Will? Or
no, I think he's
the
Grim
guy
Reaper
they were
dude.
Seeing, yeah.
Yeah, and I think Will obviously was one of the Hydra. I'm thinking Will might be Hydra, or he was obviously getting sacrificed.
Well, I think the whole NASA space program was started for Hydra. He says Hydra was formed to engineer his return. And he tells Ward, join me and we'll rule together and we'll get this guy back. But he goes –
they were sending people over there to sacrifice them.
Oh, for this guy, kind of as food.
For this inhuman. Yeah, this inhuman to kill these people.
And then the most shocking thing where Malik goes, here's the thing. SHIELD has done one thing that we haven't been able to do for thousands of years. They brought someone back. And I was like, oh, fuck, dude.
Yeah, because we got the fits.
You got the
fits. Rugboy, did you have something there?
I did have something there because sacrifice for what? Like food? I don't get that. I always thought that they were just trying to figure a way for him to bring him back.
Or maybe I remember them saying that they sent these people as offerings all the time.
Maybe he's just sucking their energy. Like he needs their energy to stay alive.
Maybe he's just blowing them.
Maybe he needs a quick handy. And
he's like, I need to blow somebody.
They're like, you want a guy, girl? He's like, it doesn't matter. Just send whoever you have. We don't care.
Send four attractive gentlemen over
I'm
here.
An inhuman from another planet. I'm a pansexual. You could send whatever the fuck you want as long as they got a soft, wet hole. I'm good.
Oh, shit.
Whoa. If they can pull that off on ABC.
Yeah. Well, and so finally, we also learned that Malik and Ward have Garner, and they're trying to activate Lash so they can, like, turn him and use it, which that's not going to end
up. Yeah, like mustard gas.
They're trying to create an inhuman army for this guy when they bring him back to command all of them. Oh, and then they'll have an inhuman army at their hands.
Well, if he
the coolest thing was Malik narrating, and you see the logos, like the evolution of the Hydra logos.
And then she turns
I thought was awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
Powers Booth did a great job.
Powers Booth is always great.
And this making Ward the main bad guy and giving him this scene where he kills all the guys try to kill him and he ties them up and starts torturing them.
Oh, so great.
Like, that's fucking diabolical and he's fucking great. And I'm like, I never liked Ward, and I like him now. Like, all that shit that we didn't like about the show, like, they toned down Skye. She's not in it all the time.
Yeah.
You know, Ward has got a better characterization. They got, Mockingbird to be, like, the heavy. It's worked so much better now.
Dude, they could have
easily – can I address that, too? Because I hated on the show to start this season because I was like, it never ties into anything. There's no great character I can rally behind. This was the episode where Coulson finally showed that he's a fucking awesome leader.
Nice.
Yeah,
and it also tied in to the movies in the fact that it enriched Hydra. It made Hydra even more than I thought it was ever.
That's huge.
And it doesn't need to connect to the movies at this point. I just know now that Hydra has been around forever, and that's cool.
That's huge. And speaking of Ward, they could easily went soft with his characterization. Dude, that scene where he's in the plane and he's flirting with the girl – and he's whispering.
Awesome.
He's pretty much whispering, I'm going to blow this door open and leave you guys to die. And you see that girl's face turn from a flirty smile to, oh, shit, I'm going to die.
Yeah.
And then he left them to die. I was like,
oh, shit.
He's full on evil now. Hey, everyone, thanks for jumping into the blab. This is the Jock and Nerd podcast. We are talking about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. If you stick around to the end of the show, we're going to open up a box and you can geek out with us. Thanks for hanging out. JockandNerd.com. But man, solid Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. episode.
Very solid.
I think it's the best one so far. That everything's firing.
Everything's starting
on
to
all
click.
Pistons. Yeah. Everything's clicking.
Right on. So a little bit of news moving forward. Agent Carter finally gets a premiere date, January 5, people. Agent Carter season 2. And then I think Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. returns about in March-ish.
More shit I gotta watch.
Yeah.
And don't forget, Jessica Jones starts tomorrow.
Oh, we'll get to that tomorrow, in the news section. People, make room on your DVRs because we got more shows to talk about.
The Jock and Nerd Podcast.
Strap yourselves in, you fucks. Spoiler time.
Time to spoil this week's awesome Flash episode, season 2, episode 7, entitled Guerrilla Warfare. Now, on the surface, this episode may have seemed like a filler episode, but fuck, I love their filler episodes, man. They, even good. As a filler episode, this was a really fun episode. Lots of great character development. Nothing about Legends of Tomorrow, which really helped.
Helps a lot.
And we got to see fucking Grodd.
Oh, shit.
Well, you're wrong about that.
Oh, that, what
did because Hawk Girl.
You did see Hawk Girl.
But see, the way they did it was it was better. It wasn't heavy handed. It was a little bit, and it was a little tease.
They slipped it in, just like the tip.
They slipped just the tip in, and Cisco vibes on Kendra Saunders. And at first, he thinks it's a dude. He goes,
"You right thinks Hawk Girl is fine."
Oh, she is fine, dude. Here's my question, though: is she Hawk Girl now in secret? Is he vibing the future? What's going on?
I don't know. That's a good question.
That's a good question.
Because eventually we're going to meet Hawkman, who she's probably a relation, brother, cousin.
We're going to meet them in like 2 episodes.
Well, I think next week is a crossover.
I don't know. If next week is not the crossover.
It is.
It's a December.
December 1st. So it's going to be a while before the crossover
2 weeks after Thanksgiving. Okay.
Yeah. You right would give her the tip, he says.
I would give her the tip and then just the rest of it.
You know,
why not? Guerrilla
No,
Warfare,
but you had mentioned that this was a filler episode, and then so I came into watching this episode thinking, oh, this is straight filler. And I actually thought it was pretty entertaining. The only thing I didn't like about this episode is that Flash was kind of being a whiny bitch. But other than that, I thought it was good.
I felt that was worse.
I felt that whole disappointment feeling, all that stuff. I felt that his whole story was a little forced.
You did kind of just want to smack him. You just want to hit him and be like, snap the fuck out of it, Barry. You have superpowers. Fucking run. What are you doing?
Yeah. But then I think that this is part of my thing that I think that Barry's dad is Zoom is why they're dragging him back in now to be like a sympathetic character. So now you like him when the turn happens. Because the last time we saw Barry's dad, he was Dick Dad. He lays like, fuck you. Thanks for getting me out of prison. Bye.
He just needed some space.
Now he came back, had some screen time, did something fatherly where we like him again.
But great.
And now
when
they reveal that he might be his dad. He might be the other guy. What's that other guy? Ebard Thawne?
He could be Eddie Thawne. I think our candidates are a solid these three. I don't know if you guys agree. It's Earth 2 Barry Allen. It's or Earth 2 Henry Allen. Or it's Earth 2 Eddie Thawne. I think those are any of those. I think those are the main candidate. If it's somebody else, that's gonna be quite a twist.
If it's Cisco, I'm quitting the show.
Not Cisco. He's gonna be vibe. Anyways,
Jure brings up a good point. That's why I didn't like Barry's arc in this. He's riding the same arc all the time, where he's like he doubts himself. And I was just like, fucking, can Eddie or Eddie? Sorry, I keep calling him Eddie. Barry finally just be like, fuck it, I'm a superhero. I'll get through it.
Yeah,
whatever.
But you know what? He got destroyed worse than he's ever been destroyed. So,
but no, because he grows back. He's got regenerative powers.
It was all in his head. It was all in his head. You know, it was just
he's got to know that he's going to be fine.
He is fine. He did get his ass beat. But that's why, I thought that it was nice with the dad analogy where Henry's like, look, I was also destroyed when the Reverse Flash killed your mom, and you helped me get over it. And you have to just believe in yourself, Barry. It was a nice little father-son moment. And then I felt bad for Joe. He felt like kind of like the third wheel when the dad was around. I was like, oh, Joe, you're the daddy too, Joe. I think Joe's a better dad.
We gotta get to to Grodd.
Motherfucking Grodd.
The fact that they're able to pull off Grodd and it's not like laugh out loud funny that he's on screen is amazing.
I don't know how they do it, but I'm okay with the Grodd effects. Like it works completely with the tone of the show.
Everything I'm going to get Mr. Technical again.
Okay.
Everything works great except for where they show like where he doesn't have fur, and that looks weird.
Yeah, the fur though. I mean, I was looking at it and like it was believable enough in the world for me to just
But it's way better than the other shit on Flash.
Yeah, that the Atom Smasher CGI was like so horrible.
My God.
I was like, how are they able to pull off Grodd and that look like shit, and that was like a person.
The only time Grodd didn't look good, I think in my opinion, was at the end when he's in obvious daylight, and then it's like, oh, you could tell the whole scene is CGI'd. Yeah. But when they have him at night, I think it works really well.
In the shadows is always great.
In the shadows, yeah.
So Grodd
for
is,
TV, it's good.
Grodd is getting mind-controlling people to steal some drugs that so he could put some mind control – oh, to enhance his own cognitive being. No, he wanted Caitlin to make more Grodds. That's what he wanted.
Yeah, he's very confusing.
He's lonely.
He's lonely. You know what? I like the science, though. As crazy as the science is on the show, they mentioned that the drugs that he was stealing are nootropics. Anthony, are you familiar with the nootropic drugs?
No.
This science is sound. Actually, this is what Joe Rogan sells on it. Like Alpha Brain.
Oh, it's the Alpha Brain.
Alpha Brain. These are pills that actually enhance cognitive function and get you to talk better and things fire quicker. So some
can I get that?
Yeah,
I
think.
Where do I get those?
Rug Boy, you need a fucking bottle full at once, I tell you. Stat.
Oh, shit.
I'm fucking start shooting that shit up into my veins right now.
I bought a bottle of Alpha Brain. It's kind of expensive. I got to try it again.
Did it work for you?
I felt maybe a little bit sharper.
He is the nerd. I mean.
I don't know. I think some of the other self-medications I was taking may have countered the effects of the nootropics, and everything was just a wash.
Oh, shit.
Now, if you had to choose between a pill that made your schlong bigger or make you smarter, which one would you choose?
Wait. You have to qualify this. This pill makes your schlong bigger, but you're dumb as fuck. This other pill will shrink your dick, but you will be the smartest man in the world.
No,
Which pill do you choose?
It's a big dick pill all day long.
No question.
Yeah.
No question.
What are you going to do? Like, you have no dick. I'm already going through that. So, I mean.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. Rugboy is like the Tin Man from, or the Scarecrow. He just, he needs a fucking straw penis.
Yes, I need a man who's hiding behind a curtain to give me a piece. Wait.
Coming out of the curtain. So I loved Wells, too, in this. Again, great performance.
Yeah,
well,
good point.
Tom Cavanaugh. You know, at first he wants to leave. And this I thought was weird. Caitlin was really like, no, you can't leave. She's like really all adamant that he stays and helps them. I didn't understand.
Well, it's showing that she's a really like caring girl.
Yeah.
Like she really does care for people, and it would suck if she ends up being Killer Frost. I hope
it's Earth 2 Caitlin.
Killer Frost. Yeah.
So they dress him up as Reverse Flash, and Cisco is training him how to be Earth 1 Wells, and it's
so good,
fucking hilarious. And then he finally nails it. He's creepy.
He's like, be sincere, but also be creepy.
He's like, increase the creep factor, and then be sincere. And he's like, yep, you got it. And then
Cavanaugh is an MVP on the show.
And I love the writing of the character where at first Grodd doesn't buy it, and then Wells, too, is just like, look at my face, look at me in the eyes. And he just takes it and gets it done. And he gets sent, we get to see, what's it called? Gorilla City.
Geek Booner.
Gorilla City over in Earth 2, which, again, lame names for cities, but that's the DC universe. What are you going to do?
It's just, well, you want to know one thing that I noticed besides Gorilla City?
Yeah.
Is that the part where, why the fuck do I want to call him Ollie? Barry is talking to Patty, and he covers up one lie with another lie. He's like stacking lies now.
Oh, Patty's going to – I think next episode she's going to find out. She already knows, I think. She's not stupid. Their lies are falling apart. Joe says one thing about him being sick. He said another thing. She's not – she's a fucking police investigator. She's going to figure this out.
That might be the only downfall.
She's a detective.
Just tell Patty.
I'm a cop, you idiot.
I'm a cop. It's not a tumor.
A police officer.
Like, this isn't Arrow. Like, Arrow is all about secrets.
Yeah.
Like, Flash should not be about secrets.
No, Patty's going to find out, dude. It's obvious. Like, and even Joe is like, I think Patty's going to catch it on. You better go make up another lie. It's not going to work. They're not good at making lies.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you think the truth's going to come out?
Oh yeah,
I thought he was going to tell her at the end of the episode, and he didn't.
Well, they'll save it.
Yeah.
The only thing I had that came through my mind negative, besides Barry being a emo bitch, is like Iris really has nothing to do in any of these episodes anymore.
No, yeah. Which is, you know what? That's fine with me. Fucking fine. Leave her out.
Oh, shit.
All she did was she called Henry Allen, and she barely had.
She called him, and then she just stands around in the
back.
I don't
think she even had any dialogue. They made her unhot. She's smoking.
Look at her objectively, though. Like, yeah. What does she add to Team Flash?
Nothing. Nothing.
Nothing, right?
I'm going to write a
Wally
blog
West.
Post about this. Well, that's
Wally
why.
West eventually.
Yeah. And she knows that she's got the brother?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. The mom
told her.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. I just read somewhere in the mid-season finale, we will be introduced to Wally West.
I saw that too, yeah.
So,
gotcha.
Where we get there. Another great thing, let's say the one thing this show does great is they don't make up fucking characters for the most part. Everything they pull is pulled from comic book canon, and I love that as opposed to where
they embrace the zaniness.
Yeah,
of,
but like
of the,
as opposed to S.H.I.E.L.D. like has to make up superheroes. Everything Flash pulls from is right from the book, and you're excited to see how they're going to do it. I love that.
Yeah.
The fact that they've had Gorilla Grodd and King Shark means nothing is off limits for the Flash.
Absolutely.
Go ahead, Red Boy.
Yeah.
No, I was going to say that I thought that this episode was the second favorite episode of the week.
Nice.
S.H.I.E.L.D. is up there at the top, and then we got this episode is like the second best.
I agree.
And then everything else is shit.
You know what's funny, though? I've noticed that some of that King Shark, Gorilla Grodd turns people off of the show. Chris Richardson from 365 Flix podcast said he got to the King Shark and then he was like, that's it, I'm out, I can't watch this. But to me, that's awesome. Like, so you have to appreciate it from that point of view that this is a comic book show.
I laughed. Like, it made me laugh that he was on there, which is what I think the reaction they were intending for is that you want you to laugh that, holy fuck, a real giant King Shark that we've teased throughout this whole episode just showed up.
Yeah, no, and it's a great punchline and still menacing looking. And then I love the moment, we talked about Cisco and Vibe, but I really loved, so Cisco touches her and Vibe's out and runs away from the date, which was hilarious. I was like, what are you doing?
Great.
He just leaves her. So he comes to the coffee shop, wanting to make it up. He's playing In Your Eyes by Peter Gabriel. I was like, nice song, dude. Very John Cusack from that movie, Say Anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did. He pulled the Say Anything.
Now, I have a question.
Yeah.
Is anybody ever going to get laid in the show? Because nobody seems to send it in.
No,
nobody's at all.
Yeah, that's a good point.
If you didn't know that he was vibing out, it looks like he is orgasming on the spot.
Yeah, he's like, hold on.
He's literally ejaculating in his pants.
And then he's like, hold on, I got to go. I'll be right back to wipe off. Like, it looks suspicious. He's a dumbass for leaving. But I loved what a great kiss that he had with her when he finally vibes her in full mask. And he's just like, wow. And I was like, God damn, that's a kiss right there.
Yeah, I can see that. But I mean, I want them to be men. Like, men gonna get laid.
You
don't want to kiss and hold hands. And
well,
like,
Cisco was like, he did tease. He's like, we're gonna go out to dinner and then probably grab breakfast the next day.
Yeah, and then they're messing with him. Barry's like, breakfast? What are you talking about? And he's like,
that was good.
Joe's like, he's messing with you. Do-Right said he bust twice. Yeah, so Cisco didn't need to get laid. he was done as soon as the kiss was over. He's like,
it's like the vibing thing. His eyes roll back and he like flutters.
You know what?
Stuff.
That's a great, I never noticed that observation. When Cisco vibes, he's getting off. It looks like he's getting off. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
I'm getting a vibe.
Oh, I'm gonna start using that. I gotta be. Oh shit! I vibed all over myself. I'll be right back.
Oh shit!
It's okay.
That's so good. Hey, some guys vibe early. Some guys vibe often. It happens to the best of them. I vibe too quickly. I'm sorry.
It's healthy.
It's healthy.
Give me a napkin.
You know they say vibe is good for your hair. There's a lot of protein. It's like conditioner. Yeah. That's what I heard about the vibe.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
All right. Great Flash show. Hey, let's get to the best show this week. Do you guys agree? All right, fuck you.
Let's go.
Let's spoil some shit, Batman.
Dude, I think this episode of Arrow was maybe more my favorite for a couple of reasons.
Wow.
Season 4.
Wow, I hated this episode.
Really? I'll tell you what I liked about it. Season 4, episode 7 called Brotherhood. I liked it because it was not there. Okay, was there? There was no Legends of Tomorrow set up in this one. right?
There was Ray
Palmer.
They
had Adam, but not that about it.
They had Adam doing shit. Here's what I like. Right off the bat, whoever directed this episode, the way he shot these fucking fight scenes
was awesome.
Oh, my God. I totally disagree.
What?
Oh, wow. Ooh.
Oh, yeah. All right, Ruggs. Let's get into it.
Let's hear it.
All right. Well, I just think that the fight scenes were very, very, like, over-choreographed. And it looked like they weren't – there was no weight behind any of the punches. In fact, some of those kicks were late. Like, I think the direction was, like, was horrible. Like, I would have made them do it again or something. I don't know. Maybe they were running out of time. Maybe they tried to do too much in one episode.
I feel okay.
I think Imran's pointing out the fight scene – where it's like they close up in Theo.
There's a couple of them. They did a lot of
The ones where they were in like a box. Yeah. And they were fighting in very, very close quarters. I thought those were good. The ones where they were fighting multiple people, I can see Rugboy's point.
Well, look.
Yeah, there was one where Theo like completely missed a guy. And like, you didn't see it? Like, she completely kicks, doesn't hit anything, and then the guy just falls. And like, it was just, I'm like, oh, who's shooting this? It was very, very amateur hour, in my opinion.
You know what? I liked the attempt at stylizing these fight scenes a little bit different than the rest of the show.
It looked like Power Rangers.
No, I disagreed. They had these single camera kind of, they were trying to emulate the Daredevil's one take single camera fight. I love the part where Thea's fighting the guy and they go in the elevator and they're fighting in the elevator and they come out of the elevator and then you see them like kind of periphery, kind of like a journalistic camera like 24 would shoot. There was a lot of these shots where it was very raw. Like there was a lot of choreography and the camera is sweeping around. Instead of cutting, the camera is sweeping around and following them. I loved when Laurel jumped off the building and the camera followed her down on the shoulder.
Yeah, that was cool.
That was pretty sick. Cool. So
there were some very different camera shots than we're used to seeing. Yes. Let me just before you keep going, we have a lot of people in here. Jockandnerd.com. We are live recording this podcast that will be out on Saturday.
You guys, thanks for checking out the Jock and Nerd podcast. If you hang out after the show, we're going to open it up. We get to geek out with you. Leave a comment in the thing. Click tell a little bird if you don't mind. It would really help us out. We love you guys. This episode, I love the fight scenes. I thought it you could because they were so pulled back, like it was all stunt. The stunt doubles weren't that bad because you just saw people fighting in the distance. However, there was a lot of wild shooting. And then my only question is, when there's a group of ghosts and they're facing one person, why don't they all shoot them at once instead of just walking into them? Like, when Laurel is fighting those one dudes, they're literally just walking into her like it's a video game, and she's just knocking them out. I'm like, you guys have fucking machine guns. Why aren't you shooting them?
It's crazy how, like, Arrow can jump into a fight with a guy with a bunch of machine guns and none of them like turn around and start using their guns. They all start disregarding their guns and start throwing punches.
What the fuck are these things?
They forget. They forget that they have guns. But I like how they tied Diggle's brother into all this now.
But I hate that everybody who's dead is not dead on the show.
No, there's a lot of...
That's where I'll agree with...
It's getting old.
This whole season should be called Resurrection. Yeah, everyone... Nobody's dead. Everyone's coming fucking back to life. This is a third person.
I was in the middle on this episode because I liked the fight scenes like Imran mentioned, but I am getting tired that no one really is ever dead.
No one ever dies.
And everybody can... She's like, I know what it's like to have a sister that died and came back. And everybody knows what it's like to have a dead person in their life come back.
They come back, yeah.
Great emotional scenes by Diggle, though. I really did like that he would not cut his brother some slack. They wanted to save him, and he's like, no, fuck that guy. We're not
there's
doing
an edit where Diggle's crying, and they cut back, and his face is completely dry. I fucking watched this episode, and I remember.
Did.
This is why
I did watch this episode closely.
I did just watch this like an hour ago as well. I could see that Diggle not having like any remorse for his brother was weird, was like moral. But I also kind of found it unbelievable that he was so angry like with Ollie about it, and like he wouldn't give his brother a chance. I kind of felt it was a little unbelievable. Like your brother's back, dude. Like, get him back.
Yeah, I don't understand the conflict. He's like, he's pissed that his brother's still alive. He's like,
especially when you see Dark giving those pills and they all start like obeying him.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Dude, that's why your brother's gone. Yeah, that's why your brother's not following anything.
Like, I can understand him being pissed that he's an asshole and like lied about who he is. But, you know, you got to be at least happy that he's alive and maybe he's got a chance at like becoming a good guy at some point.
Right.
He ain't cutting him any slack. But then at the end, Diggle straight out asks him, is this true? And Andy's like, yep, it's true, all of it. So where does that leave us? The guy is a fucking piece of shit. I don't know.
Yeah.
He'll come around. He'll be redeemed.
Everybody does. You can't fall for that shit.
And so we also got some cool stuff about Thea a little bit regarding her bloodlust. First of all, Malcolm should be given an award for Father of the Year because he is so loving that he shows up.
I found a pedophile for
that's
you.
That's so great. He's such a loving
dad.
That's
actually very appropriate.
Yes.
That's like the best. That's what Alfred of Malcolm Lowe.
Yeah, I felt that Malcolm was sincere. Like, that was a sincere moment. He's like, look, I know the bloodlust from killing those dudes is wearing off. Hey, there's a pedophile just down the street. I'm going to leave this here. That's all. Just letting you know. And then the lamest, the whole scene in the bar on the date with that guy hitting on her.
That was unnecessary.
It was ridiculous. It was the worst dialogue. The minute the dude steps away, this guy's like, hey, baby, what you know? I was like, what the fuck? And then she just.
You look like the kind of girl that meets no means yes.
Oh, my God. It was hilarious.
But is it any more obvious to you guys that Arrow's advisor is under working for Dark? The way when he gets the cell phone call, he's like, I got to get this.
Wait, who?
Yeah. The planner.
The guy that's dating Thea. The planner.
Oh, do you think Alex has a,
He has an ulterior motive. It's so obvious. There's nothing likable so far about this guy except that he's dating Thea.
But he got to watch her fucking beat that guy down, and she's like, sorry, you saw that. Hey, everyone,
let's interrupt this real quick.
Yeah.
Rug Boy, do you have a sister?
No.
No. That's a random question from Mr. Do-Right in the chat. Thanks, Do-Right.
I'm in on your dial.
Say something, though.
I was just saying thanks for everyone stopping in and checking us out. We're the Jock and Nerd Podcast. We're just talking about how this episode of Arrow this week, I like some things, but there were still some silly things. I love the line, though. I like the plan now that Diggle and Oliver finally get on the same page, and they're like, we're going to take this son of a bitch down in the light of day. And Ollie calls him out in the open, because for some reason Dark doesn't want him to fuck with the Bay, and Oliver wants to restore the Bay because that's where they were. He was training, is that right? That's
like trading. I think he wants to control the docks.
Yeah,
he's got some military shit in there. We didn't really find out what that was.
He wants to be able to bring shit in and out, and he wants to be able to fucking. That's how, he wants to basically cripple the city so he can take it over and make it his base of operations.
Yep.
I like the course this is taking with Ollie running for mayor, and you're starting to see the hope slowly come into the tone of the show where he's trying. I kind of like that the mayor would be Arrow. Like, that's kind of badass if that actually happens. Dark may oppose him now. Do you think that's going to happen? Dark's going to run against
him? He opposes him figuratively in that I don't think he's going to run against him, but he's going to do everything he can to make sure Ollie doesn't get elected or stay alive.
Did you notice that they used the word hippie and crunchy a lot?
Hippie crunchy program. They used that twice. Yes.
Why? They're trying to make Ollie into like 70s Green Arrow from the comics. Like,
oh,
crunchy
a little nod to like the Neil Adams Green Arrow there.
Good catch, Ruggs.
That's what I'm here for. And the dick jokes.
Hey, if you guys in the blab have a question, if you just type /Q, it'll come up as a question, and we will answer it. Then the other thing, okay, so at the end, when they were going in to save Andy's brother, they get caught, and the fight breaks down, and then suddenly Ray shows up, because the whole time Ray is like, I don't know what I'm doing, I don't want to go back to work. He's a little bit of a whiny bitch, too. He's trying to help him find his DNA markers, whatever. Adam comes in. Here's my question. When the fuck did he learn how to fight?
Oh, I don't know. I think maybe he programmed it into the suit.
What?
Like, yeah.
I did notice him ducking punches, and I was like, that's kind
of
lame.
Yeah. I was like, how does Ray know how to fight all of a sudden? Just
maybe when he was in
them?
That glass thing, he was just practicing kung fu moves.
He was shadow boxing with a tiny little elf.
Yeah.
It would be more believable if he was just like flying around and punching people and then like getting hit, but like not just absorbing it because he's in a metal suit. Like, why do you need to duck?
Yeah.
You're in a metal suit.
Just let him hit you. Their hand is going to break and then you can punch
them. Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, but I like
all things that make sense. That's why I thought this episode was weird.
Yeah. I mean, to me, the fight choreography and those kind of swooping camera kind of saved it. Now, let's not forget the moment where Dark tries to whammy jammy magic Thea and it backfires. Not only does it backfire, it reduces her bloodlust.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
So that's going to come in handy in the future. She could be the only one that can withstand Dark's magic
powers. She is basically like like wearing a cross against like a vampire.
Yeah,
or something.
That's awesome. Bring around,
yeah, it doesn't work on her because she's made of magic.
Yeah.
Because of
or
the
bringing
pit.
A bunch of onions or garlic around a vampire. Yeah. Just bring Thea.
So the pit kind of is giving her a coating of protection.
Or, you know, you get the other Lance lady to come in there and beat the shit out of him.
Well, there's my question about Sarah. If Thea is this bad, how fucking bad is Sarah Jonesing right now? She's probably fucking killing a bunch of people. Did they ever solve that?
I don't know.
She still has a bloodlust. Or should, anyways.
Well, if they use the MacGuffin to get Thea back to normal, then they can use the same MacGuffin to get Sarah back to normal. Maybe it's going to be both of them double-teaming him.
They got a magic... And that's how they kill him. Oh, Rug Boy.
Geek Ruler.
I think you might be writing this show. I don't know. How do you know that? That's a great idea.
Because like I took those pills that make my dick smaller.
Nootropics. Big brain, small dick. Get it now.
Yeah.
Take two of these and I'll see your dick nowhere. Okay. So in the flashback, anything of value in these flashbacks?
No,
Ryder has some mojo sticks that can tell if someone's lying. Conklin set up the girl that Oliver saved, her brother, Oliver
died.
The killer. But that's really about all that happened. Oliver has a map, but needs another map to find out how this fucking map works, of course.
I didn't get what the plan was.
Yeah, it's convoluted.
I don't understand. I don't understand the flashy backies.
At least they're back on Lian Yu and not in China. I'll say that.
Yeah, he's got to stay there for another year and sort all this shit out. Yeah. But so moving forward next week, I don't think there's an Arrow and I think
no Arrow next week.
And then the next one is going to be the crossover. So we will have Vandal Savage
Geek Mooner
and a setup
for
Legends of Tomorrow.
Geek Mooner.
We're going to see all the heroes come together, team up and fucking kick some ass.
I hope it's good.
I hope it's good.
They better do Vandal Savage right. He's a fucking awesome villain.
Did you see them in the previews, the Vandal the Savage?
Yeah, he looked pretty good. He looked like a Vandal Savage from the comics.
He was throwing knives, a bunch of them at the time.
I mean, their crossover last season was pretty decent, but this year...
I liked it last season.
Yeah, this year it's more of a connected two-parter. This will be the backdoor pilot. That's hot.
Geek Mooner.
Into Legends of Tomorrow. I love when they say backdoor.
We're going to go in the back door.
I'm going to pilot through the back door, people. I enjoyed. Okay, so what was your favorite this week, you guys? Rugboy, you first out of these four shows.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. by far was the most jaw-dropping. Like, the whole thing with Ward, Powers Booth revealing the Hydra thing, Coulson just sticking it to that whole... What is the ACLU, the ATU, ACDC, whatever the fuck those acronyms are.
NLCS,
yeah,
all those acronyms.
Yeah,
Anthony, what was your favorite show this week?
I gotta agree with Rugboy. I mean, the fact that maybe it's partly because I realized Malik has been in the movies and it just made everything so much more enriching, but I didn't expect S.H.I.E.L.D. to blow me away and tie in all these threads that at first seemed like, what the fuck? Why is there three different things going on? But the fact that it's all tied in and Coulson's finally a badass is cool. It was good. That was my favorite by far, too.
You guys, I'm a flip-flopping motherfucker, and you just changed my mind. I'm going to have to go Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. also.
Oh, wow.
Not to be super agreeable, but now that I think back, the fucking Hydra revelation at the end alone blew me away. That how they pull and then tying everything together and tying these threads and making it really cool. That was great.
This is the new status quo. You got Ward as the big bad. You got Hydra being fucking something that comes from the Kree or from Inhuman shit.
And then you got you got an army of dormant Inhumans that could be activated at any time, which is going to be fucking awesome.
Geek Mooner.
And you find out that they're activating them too.
Yeah. Yeah,
they're activating, and so much shit happened in this episode. If you missed this episode, you gotta go watch.
Absolutely, go back and watch it. All right, gang, we got a couple of news bits and some feedback. We're gonna wrap up the main show, open up the post show where you guys can jump in and geek out with us. Hey, guys, you guys like Justice League, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you like Justice League Dark?
I like it with some sugar.
I like Justice League Dark chocolate with lots of peanut butter. There's been some casting rumors of this upcoming Justice League Dark movie. Couple of cool names attached. It's all hearsay, but it got me excited. For example, Monica Bellucci, which you may know from she was Inspector most recently in the Matrix, the Matrix sequels as Madame Xanadu. I like that. I like that. Colin Farrell possibly as Constantine. Ruggs, what do you think of that?
Ooh, this is going to be a movie?
Yes. Big budget movie. They're also mentioned Ewan McGregor as Etrigan, maybe.
Cool.
Yeah.
And the best one, the biggest
geek boner,
Ron Perlman as the fucking Swamp Thing, dude. I love that.
That's awesome.
Whoa. That's perfect casting right there.
This is all rumored, Imran?
Yeah, they're in talks. Okay. There's also a short list of directors. Guillermo del Toro was attached to do it. He is not doing it. There's a short list of dark. They're looking for like dark horror kind of directors to bring this. They're also looking for like a comedic personality for Deadman. And these are the names that are being thrown around, and I love.
Have you heard if it's going to be connected to the main DCEU?
Hey guys, I think we're on the homepage of Blab right now.
We
made it to the homepage of Blab. Jump in!
That's
and listen.
Right, bitches. I got 300 followers.
Right on.
Everybody should follow me right now.
Officially, this is the most people we've ever had for one of these weekly shows.
Plug the show again.
Jock and Nerd. This is the Jock and Nerd podcast, episode 59. We are an audio podcast where we come once a week and talk about, geek out about comic book TV shows. Visit jockandnerd.com. If you hang out till the end of the show, we're going to open up our Blab window. We'll get to geek out with you guys, and you can ask Rug Boy a question. Just thanks to everyone. This is awesome. Thank you guys for coming in. Justice League Dark casting rumors. Kind of fun. Another piece of news I wanted to mention. Remember we talked about Iron Fist and Netflix and how maybe it's not going to be a series and that maybe it's going to be a feature movie. Well, Joe Quesada has come out and all he said is we're still working on the series. That's all he said.
Someone's getting fisted.
Someone is getting iron fisted right up the slack hole.
Oh shit!
Wowie zowie!
Yes, I love it. So
I hope that Iron Fist still is on track because that's going to be a unique show.
Yeah, I mean you know what like I said last time I was okay with this, but then the more I thought about it, I was like, you can't have a Power Man without Iron Fist.
Plus, we've seen Punisher Punisher, we're going to see him in Daredevil, and Punisher is a played out story. Punisher, Iron Fist.
Yeah. Iron Fist is something new and different.
That, awesome.
Yeah. Plus, I think in the
white guy doing karate? Awesome.
Yeah, that's always good. He's got super
you
fist.
You mean American Ninja wasn't good enough for you?
In the comic books, I think Power Man and Jessica Jones, don't they have a kid and they name him Danny?
They
name him after. Yep. So if you're going to have Luke Cage, you have to have Danny Rand's relationship. And maybe the way to soften the blow is in Luke Cage, Power Man, you introduce Danny as his buddy already. You know, and then we get a little, and then you wait till Doctor Strange happens, then you give us an Iron Fist series. They'll work.
That's what they're doing sort of with Jessica Jones, is they're introducing Luke Cage. So then you'll get to know him sort of on Jessica Jones, and then he'll get his own series. And from all the reviews I read, Luke Cage, that actor's killing it.
Dude, he looks great. Hey, everyone in the Blab, this is the Jock and Nerd podcast. Will you hear things like this?
Jock and Nerd!
I want you to remember this.
Jock and Nerd!
And tell your friend when you see him. Jock and Nerd podcast, jockandnerd.com. Now, finally, we can't forget to mention, we're live now. It's Thursday, November 19th. When this show posts, it'll be Saturday, November 21st. In the middle of those days, tomorrow, for the live listeners, Jessica Jones released on Netflix!
Geek movie.
I cannot be more excited. Wow. Come on, how hyped are you? I was even thinking, Anthony asked me, am I going to stay up tonight and watch it when it comes out? And then I was like, when does it come out? And then you were like, midnight. And then I was like, midnight where? Anthony, what's the answer?
It is midnight Pacific. So unfortunately for us, Central and Eastern time zone, for Rug Boy, that's 2 or 3 a.m. So.
Wow.
It's only fair they want to wait till it's midnight everywhere.
Everywhere.
Yep. Only where it's important, California. Fuck everybody else.
Exactly right. That's a hey, California. We love you. We got a lot of listeners out in Cali, Bay Area. What's up?
There's like 40 people watching this. I'm sure they don't know shit about Jessica Jones. Let's give them a real quick overview of what the show is going to be about.
Absolutely. And actually, I found this little article on IO9 that brought a good point. That Alias, this show is based on a comic book called Alias that came out 14 years ago today. And it's Marvel's first adult comic book.
What
had happened was towards the end of the 90s, early 2000s, the market became so saturated with gimmicks and over publication that comic books got really immature. And that's when it lost me, when I realized that they're still writing for 13-year-olds. And I'm like, you know what? I'm out. Now, this was also compounded with a little bit the Comics Code Authority, which is a authority that comics need to – they can't swear. They can't be obscene. So two things happen. The 90s are over, and Marvel leaves the Comics Code Authority. Now, they are
this
free –
this story's taking way too long.
Sorry. They're free to make adult comics. So Alias was – Rugboy, why don't you tell the people what Alias is about?
Alias is basically about Jessica Jones, okay? She's this girl that – used to be an Avenger. She was like a she had flying powers and she had super strength, and she got under the grasp of this guy called the Purple Man, who has psychic abilities, and basically fucked up her head big time. And basically in the comics, like abused her sexually and made her think that she was sexually abused. She wasn't. He didn't really actually touch her, but he put the thoughts in her head that she can't get out. And just made her think terrible things. So she quits being a superhero and starts being a private investigator.
Yep.
But she drinks heavily and has sex with random guys. And she's just like bad news.
She's a flawed character, runs Alias Investigations. Listener and guys in the black.
Let me read the synopsis real quick on Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Just because I think it's awesome. Critical reception for the series was overwhelmingly positive, with praise given to Ritter and Tennant for their performances. The series' noir tone, approach to sexuality, and covering darker topics such as rape, assault, and PTSD, which is stuff that hasn't really been touched in comic book culture in terms of the big screen or on the little screen.
This is the review of the show that we're gonna that's gonna come on.
Yeah. It's been screened. There's been a lot of reviews. It's gotten great press. Great reviews. Yeah. So and
I think it's 96% right now on Rotten Tomatoes.
I mean, for Marvel and Netflix, this is going to be huge. You know, they said that every 6 months there's going to be Marvel content on Netflix. I can't wait to check out the tone of this to see.
I'm so excited.
I'm hoping Kristen Ritter rocks it out of the park. I was gunning for Lizzie Kaplan to be Jessica Jones, Lizzie Kaplan.
Yeah, who's Lizzie Kaplan?
She's on Masters of Sex.
Okay.
And she
was, this girl's she's been in a Marvel short before.
Yeah.
Too.
Oh. But she's like, to me, when they were thinking of making a Jessica Jones show, she was the first person I thought of, but she's got like a lot of shows. I don't think she can do both shows. That'd be the first person I would have tapped. But Kristen Ritter, let's see what she does. I'm pulling for her. I hope that she pulls it off.
Hey guys, Emma Pond 88 asks in the chat, what's the name of the show? Well, Emma Pond 88, this is the Jock and Nerd Podcast. My name is Imran.
It's right there.
That's Anthony.
Name's Anthony.
He's the Jock. I'm the Nerd. And that's Rugboy, everyone's favorite felty sensation sweeping the nation. Jock and Nerd Podcast. Check us out at jockandnerd.com. And I'll have a couple more announcements of things.
The TV show we're talking about is Jessica Jones, though.
I was Jessica confused. Jones. We're talking about Jessica Jones. Okay. Well, now we have both answers. Jessica Jones on Netflix, November 20th. When this show posts in the audio feed, it'll be up. Go binge this show. We're going to have a great review. It's going to be awesome. I cannot be more
geek boner.
All right.
Yeah.
You guys.
And make sure that you come back on next Thursday, because we do our shows usually on a Thursday night.
Actually, next week we might. It's Thanksgiving, Ruggs.
Oh, shit. We don't do it on Thursday.
Ruggs, are you available the Friday after Thanksgiving?
I have no idea.
All right, that's when we're doing the show.
I guess it won't be on it. I don't know.
No, you guys just check out jockandnerd.com/live, and you'll be able to see when the next one is scheduled. Subscribe. All of our replays are on the Blab.
We do weekly shows for any of the new people in here. We do weekly shows on Blab, like Imran was talking about, but we also do special interview shows and topical shows. So there's something for everybody with what we do.
Something for every kind of taste. Lots of content to be found at jockandnerd.com. All right, gang, we got two more things. I got an email and an audio comment. We're going to close up the main show. We're going to open it up to the blabbers in the post show. Let's check it out.
The Jock and Nerd Podcast.
Jock and Nerd.
We got an email. That's mail delivered electronically, for anyone that was confused, from our buddy David Malofsky, who's editor-in-chief over at A Place to Hang Your Cape, an awesome geek culture comic book website where you can find at ap2hyc.com. It's regarding Supergirl. Here's what David had to say. I have a lot of problems with Supergirl, but the biggest one is the secret identity thing. There are pictures of Supergirl's face on the front cover of Cats magazine. How easy would it be for someone like Max Lord to run facial recognition and find Kara Danvers' Facebook page? The main way she hides her identity is changing her hair, pulled back in a bun as Kara Danvers, wild and free as Supergirl, and somewhere in between when she's just being herself, Kara Zor-El. When she showed up on the ground by that burning car, my immediate reaction was, Kara, hide your stupid face. She has the DEO behind her, and they can't at least whip up one of those lame diggle masks for her? I think anyone who wants to know who she is probably already does. Wear a mask, dummy. Valid points.
It's stuff we've already said.
She doesn't wear it in the comics. Neither does Superman.
How does nobody know it's her?
Nobody knows it's anybody. All the superheroes that don't wear masks. How does anybody do it?
Dumb. All right. Well, speaking of Malofsky, he's an overachiever. He sent us an audio comment. I got a question for the jock.
Hi guys, it's David Malofsky from A Place to Hang Your Cape. I have a question for the jock actually today. This is something that's been bugging me a lot about Arrow, and I think it's really started to come to a head lately. So it's that everyone seems to have learned how to fight really, really quickly. Like, you know, Slade and Ollie kind of worked for a few months, and then he learned a lot there, and then Thea and Laurel, I feel like they just learned how to fight, like, really, really quickly, and now they're all the same level, even though they have different levels of experience. So I wanted to ask the jock, do you think that that's possible? Because I know you're into all the UFC. Do you think that someone can learn how to fight that well in less than a year? Do you think it's all, like, really that believable that they can take out these guys who've obviously had a lot more training? So, Anthony, I want to hear your answer. Jock and nerd.
And by the way, that is the proper way to end a speak pipe message, just like he did. Thank you very much, David. Anthony, what say you?
Short answer, no, it's not possible to learn that quickly. Long answer, you would literally, to learn as fast as they've learned, you'd have to be training every day, all day, and like never, ever have a job or do anything other social. I mean, the best fighters take like 2 or 3 years at least, and these are high-level athletes, to even get like pretty good.
What's a UFC fighting like training schedule regimen usually?
It's usually twice a day, 2 or 3 times a day.
You don't go into UFC just like fresh, never fucking fighting before. Usually people who go into UFC did some wrestling in high school. Yeah, they took karate.
They beat up martial arts kids for
milk money. You know, like they had some kind of previous experience.
They've either had, like Rugboy said, had experience, or they're just a super athlete.
Yeah.
Like there's no way.
There's no way.
Is trained in a year. So
Laurel,
there's no way.
Where the hell is Wildcat
Laurel always takes me out of it when she's kicking ass. Cause like she didn't even learn from like an assassin like Thea did or Ollie. Like Ollie had 5 years. Thea at least learned from Malcolm, which is whatever.
Yeah, but even it's like watching a 10-year-old boy try to fight an adult. Like I don't get it. Like it just doesn't work.
But Laurel like learned from Cat Grant, who's just a boxing coach. Cat Grant
is on Supergirl. You're getting your...
Not Cat Grant. Wildcat. Whatever. Wildcat. Fucking yeah. Right?
But imagine Calista Flockhart trained her.
You just pulled a rug boy. You got all the names confused.
Whatever.
But the thing is, my point is that even if you train in like a discipline for a year, like boxing, you train boxing for a year, you're going to learn a ton of shit. By the end of that year, you're still going to suck.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to be that good.
I mean, look at Ronda Rousey. Everyone thought she was undefeatable. Even the best, man. But the good question by David, and that always bothers me. I'm like, fuck off.
I appreciate the
Ray,
question.
How is Ray throwing punches? Fuck off, Adam. You don't know how to fight. Just blast the motherfucker with your things.
Yeah.
Bah. All right, gang. We'll give out our final plugs. Everyone, you can follow Rugboy at Really Rugboy, right, Rugs?
Yeah.
Tell him
that guy.
He needs to increase his Twitter followers. Thanks for hanging out in the blab. If you want to send us an audio comment, just like David did, we'll answer your question. Just visit speakpipe.com/jockandnerd or click the link in the show notes in your podcast app. And then you got 90 seconds. You can leave us a nice little message and we'll answer it on the show. You can also record a voice memo, send it to our email, show@jockandnerd.com.
You can also find us on Twitter. See the nerd right there? Above that says Jock and Nerd Cast. I want everybody in here to follow us there. If you try to follow me, I will probably reject your follow. So reject Jock and Nerd, follow Jock and Nerd Cast. You can also go on Facebook and like our page. We're Jock and Nerd Podcast.
Can I tell you also what's funny, what everyone, Anthony?
Yeah, go ahead.
Because your name is in your Twitter handle and ours is Jock and Nerd Podcast, people call me the jock when I'm on Blab. They're like, "Hey, jock." And like, I can't explain it. I just go with it. So it's all confused. I'm actually the nerd, people. My name is Imran.
I've got my phone in front of me as we speak, and I have like two or three people trying to follow me personally now.
Why? Take them. Accept them. Don't be a Twitter dick. You guys also subscribe in iTunes. Visit jockandnerd.com/review.
There we go. That's important. That's very important.
It's very important. You can leave us a rating and reviewing. You will get every show right in your pocket as soon as it comes out. You will get Rug Boy in your pocket, and a warm, felty vibration will happen when you get it. Also,
if you don't have iTunes, we're on all your other podcasts.
We're also on Stitcher, platforms. SoundCloud, TuneIn Radio, Player FM. Just search Jock and Nerd.
Not Spreecast.
And Spreaker. Yes.
Spreaker. There we go.
Hey, I got another announcement. We have a YouTube channel, by the way.
Oh, fuck.
Yes.
Geek Boner.
YouTube.
Oh, shit.
Visit jockandnerd.com/YouTube. Basically, it's all our blabs. I just pushed them over to YouTube in case maybe blab goes away. All the shit lives over there still. I don't know. Why not?
Durant's like, Rug Boy, wake up. I'm like, I am awake. I'm waiting for Imran to stop talking.
His eyes are open. All right, gang.
I don't think it's physically possible for the rugs to close his eyes.
Oh, yeah. Only when he gets really drunk, one of them closes a little bit. It's quite a feat. All right, guys, we're going to close up the main show, and we're going to open it up to the blab. Thanks for listening. Visit jockandnerd.com for all the lovely links. My name is Imran.
My name's Anthony.
He's the jock.
He's the nerd.
We'll catch you next time. Dude, there's everyone. Thanks for hanging out. Welcome
Holy
to the
fuck.
This is the Jock and Nerd Podcast official blab post show. This shit
Have
is
ever
blowing
had this
people?
Up, people.
Wowie zowie.
This is officially the
what's
most.
What's up, Durite?
What's up? How's it going?
Man, I want to talk about Flash, damn it.
Okay, let's go. This is the time.
Yeah, let's talk about whatever you want
what'd
to talk about.
What'd you think?
Well, you know what? I always enjoy Flash, and y'all made some pretty damn good points tonight, man. I appreciate that. Y'all, it was like y'all was in my head, especially Rug Boy. Rug Boy's always in my head, and you should take the pill to make it smaller because then you can grow a longer tongue.
I never thought it was long enough.
Ah, you can't. It's just Rug Boy, get out of his head. Hey, what's up, front page of Blab?
Oh, shit.
Yeah, just a little Jock and Nerd podcast for your Thursday evening. Come on in.
Imran, has this ever happened?
No.
Have you ever gotten this?
No.
No?
Hell
it only
no.
6 weeks.
Yeah, this is, I mean, this is week 8, 9 in a row. This is week 9 in a row for us on the Blab. I'm glad to see the viewership is growing. You guys subscribe. We'll be doing this weekly. Sorry, Durite. Back to Flash. What'd you think this week?
Man, look. At first, when I saw that short guy, and I was like, oh, shit, they finna do a sci-fi thing. But actually, I like it. I like it because, I don't know why I like it. I just like Flash. I just like the fact that he can move fast, and he's learning how to use his powers, and it's not all quick, you know? When it's too fast, then you just don't get the enjoyment out of it. A lot of ladies say that. And,
Well, even Barry's dad goes, sometimes you got to slow down to catch back
so
up.
What? Did Barry's dad go back to jail or something?
No, he just took off. He's like, I need some space. He went camping, apparently, and went fishing by himself.
Why would you need space? You was in jail. I mean, how long you was in jail? For like 10 years or some shit?
15 years. 15 years.
He had space.
We all thought that was very poorly handled.
But the only reason, it's
obvious they don't have the budget for him to be on the show.
But it worked because they did that so he could come back and be like, look, Barry, get out of your fucking head and let's do this. Which it took forever for Barry to get, like, just run, motherfucker. What's the problem?
I wouldn't say it worked, Imran.
All right, maybe it didn't work, but that was what they were trying to accomplish.
They were trying, yeah. I could see the intent.
He would have to come back every show because every show that fucker is in a funk. You know, I don't need no help from nobody. Yeah. I don't want nobody to get hurt. Oh no, I don't want a sandwich because I don't like the crust. Oh no, I don't want to take a shit because we ain't got no toilet paper. He got problems with every fucking thing.
Yeah, he's like Peter Parker, but Peter Parker talked to himself.
Yeah. That was all internal monologue that Peter would have, all his self-doubts and shit. But you're right, Barry could be a little bit whiny. That's why I think, Rugboy, you mentioned last week, you liked Barry being a little bit more authoritative and confident and almost taking charge. He's like, no, we're going to do this. And it was a nice change for Barry. And then he went back to, oh, I can't run, even though nothing's wrong with me. I'm all
he has healed. One setback, and then he's back to being a whiny bitch.
It's funny, when he finally takes charge, he get his ass stomped.
Yeah.
Not beat.
He does.
Stomped, dragged around.
Ronda Rousey rings the bell.
Everybody.
Yeah. I mean,
he does get his ass beat.
Yeah. Even with Grodd had him, and Caitlin had to come in for the save.
Yeah, that's where we were. Yeah, that's what you're
referring
to.
That's the part. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Another Flash. You know what we need to talk about.
Let's do it.
Talk about the dead.
Bring it up.
All right, listener. Can I just say that, Anthony? What's the status on your Walking Dead project?
I am all caught up. Wow. Right. We can talk about it.
Get the fuck out of here. All right. So, I forgot.
That means you're going to do the mid-season finale show?
We'll still do that.
Oh, we'll do it, yeah. After the mid-season finale. Do you have a plan? You want to tell them what the plan is right before?
Well, there's two episodes left this year. So yeah. We'll casually talk about those in the post show and during that break. And it doesn't come back till February. So we have from then to February, we'll squeeze in a Walking Dead Geek Fest show.
Geek Fest, yeah.
And it'll be awesome. Now, Daryl-centric episode this week on The Walking Dead. What did y'all think? Do right, kick it off. You have Do the right, best start, insight, man.
You know, I like Daryl. I like Daryl because he's a man of few words. And this show was no different.
Yep.
Somebody put a gun to your head. They think you're somebody else. And you still don't say shit?
Yeah.
Or you a man of your convictions?
Yeah. Yeah, and you're right. He's a man of action and conviction. But that was my question is like, fucking say something. He's just going along with these fucking
That's just
three
him,
people.
Man.
Yeah, but you're right. He's waiting for his moment. Like, he's scoping out. He's absorbing. He wants to find out what the deal is. And then when he can make his move, he's not going to be foolish.
When he says something, it means something. But the reason I like this episode as well is Durant mentioned that Daryl is a man of few words. Abraham has a way with words that I really like.
Hey, real quick, before we continue, for everyone in the blab, this is your official spoiler for this week's Walking Dead. Don't say I didn't warn you.
When he is like, I want to get to know you on a different level or another level, I was like,
he's like, there's nobody here.
And then Sasha, yeah, that was a great line where he goes, a man knows. It just fucking looks at her.
She didn't say no.
No, she did.
She wants it.
I think
she
wants it.
She wants the ginger cock.
You think the carpet matches the drapes, Rug Boy? Is that what you're telling me?
Oh, yeah. He's got fire crotch all day long.
No, but she was literally like, you've got issues to handle. Like, you take care of your shit, which she's referring to as Rosalita. What's her name?
Rosalita.
Not Rosalita.
Yeah, Rosalita.
Rosalita. She's like,
oh, Rosita.
Take care of your
Sorry,
shit.
Rosita.
Rosita. Yeah. You take her. Basically, he's implying, take care of Rosita. Get her out of the way. And we can fuck.
But they at this point, they feel like they're not making it back, right? Like, he feels like they're just going to be there, and they're not getting out anytime soon.
Two depressed people don't need to be together. Rosalita.
I do like how both of their death wishes are kind of getting smaller. Like, they're kind of getting over their death wish together. And I feel like they connect over this, because they both kind of wanted to kill themselves.
Well, let's get back to Daryl for a second.
Oh, yeah, Daryl.
Go on.
All right, so Daryl's in the forest. He parks his motorcycle, covers it with a bush, and all of a sudden he encounters a dude and two chicks.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, new girls.
Foursome. Like, oh, no, that's what I thought. Sorry.
And immediately my hopes are dashed when one of the girls dies. Stupidly.
Why are you putting flowers on? They're still alive. It's just glass, you dumb idiot. The minute she went kneeled down to put flowers, I was like, oh, you're a dumb
She
dumb
like lays dumb on them. And then she lays onto them.
So then she falls on them, and you're like, that's just glass covering them. They're still alive.
You stupid ass.
She was an idiot. That's what happens. But
that was the weakest death on Walking Dead so far.
You know, I think you
can't even blame ignorance, because they've been alive long enough to know what zombies are like at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. How are you still alive and not know to not go near that shit?
Yeah.
They just escaped living people, and she still fell for the okie doke.
Fucking idiots.
Yeah.
So we find out these people think Daryl is part of some group that sounds like they're running a little protection racket, doesn't it?
Hey, can I point out something?
Yes.
You know how I am, right?
Yeah.
Now, I can't take credit for this because I saw Talking Dead afterwards, but they made a really good point. You've never seen that person's face, right?
Yep.
But wasn't he kind of dressed like Rick?
Yeah, it's not Rick, though.
I know it's not Rick. Hold on.
Okay. It's Rick.
It's
hey, it sounds good.
It's Earth 2 Rick. Oh, that's the different show. Sorry.
That's even better. But he's dressed like Rick. He has the boots and the belt buckle like Rick. And then when the dude gets bit, he cuts the dude's arm off Rick.
That was great. Well, that dude, his name is Wade. So I love how Daryl set the trap for the guy. And then the dude right away knows cut it off. And the other guy chops his arm off and goes, all right, walk it off, bro. That's good. Let's go. Like, he cuts his arm off, tells him to walk it off.
But that's what it would be like. Yes. You'd be like, all right, I guess we got to fucking cut your arm
off.
That's
the world you're living in these days.
Just make sure those zombies don't bite your dick.
Rick did to Herschel. Yeah. The same shit.
Yeah.
So now take this into consideration. Now this dude, they kept saying, oh, you kneeling to him, you killing people for him and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Isn't Rick going down that same road? And could this be like the reverse image of Rick?
Well, if we think we think it is. Now, we talked last week, Jeffrey Dean Morgan casts as the character Negan, announced on the show. And now you have this group that has a tanker that's mowing down trees. You don't see their heads. You see him standing, commanding them. And they're talking about these guys were trying to get away from them. We made a mistake making a deal with them. Also, a couple of things were confirmed. There was a tweet from the show account saying that character's name was Dwight, the guy's name. In the comic book, Dwight is a member of the Saviors, who are led by one Mr. Negan. So I think this is how they're introducing Negan. I think that guy in the blue was Negan. The guy, Wade. The guy you saw standing next to the truck, and he was wearing all denim, and he was in cowboy boots. And it was,
yeah.
I think that was Negan.
I ain't got much time left, but I wanted to jump to, to what question real quick. I told Imran who I thought it was, but did you catch at the end when they're using the walkie-talkies and someone says help?
Yeah, I know what you're going to say.
Who do you think it is?
You think it's Glenn.
It's not Glenn.
Of course it's Glenn.
But see,
it's Glenn.
I keep hearing this over and over and over, but check this out. Damn, come back, Rug Boy.
Rug Boy's dancing. Dance for the people, Rugs.
I know why he's doing that, too. But come on back, Rug Boy. I got an explanation for that. Now, as we've seen throughout this season so far, that time has been sitting on top of each other. That everything's been happening at the exact same time.
Yes.
And when you heard that on the walkie-talkie, could be when the fucking walkers are fucking chewing a hole in his ass, and that's his last word is, help, and that's it.
Or.
You think he's dead? You think Glenn's
dead?
Or.
I don't think
that
so.
That dude's
man.
Hiding underneath that dumpster. I'm telling you.
Glenn's not dead. Negan has to kill Glenn. Here's my theory. You want to hear my theory?
Yeah.
Remember when before the episode at the end, Rick was in the RV and then he was swarmed by walkers, right? And then remember the next time we see Rick, he is running through the walkers through the gate. Could it be Rick calling for help, needing a save from the RV, and Daryl helps him?
It Rick. Didn't sound like Rick.
Shit.
You know what?
Walkers, get out of here.
I heard this on another podcast, possibly. If you have the closed captions on during that scene, it says that it's Rick.
No!
And we're going to leave you hanging right there. The conversation does continue. If you want to hear the rest of it, it's a lot of fun. You're going to have to watch the replay on our YouTube channel or on our Blab page. We actually got to meet a lot of fun new people, had some great conversation. It was a huge night for us on the Blab, the most views and people in the room we've had yet. Check us out live on Blab. Join the fun. Just go to jockandnerd.com/live to see our live shows. And go to jockandnerd.com/YouTube. You can watch all the replays on YouTube.